was pretty good. You can clap for him. It'd be all right. He did a good job. Y'all got a... How y'all doing this morning? You glad to be in church? My phone was buzzing and buzzing and buzzing and going off. I didn't know what was going on. I thought my wife was hurt or something. I came up here and got it, and it's a family message. I hate them things. Man, and they just, everybody's just texting wide open. And my cousin and his wife had their baby this morning. So, of course, they're sending pictures, and they all look like potatoes when they come out. So it don't really matter to me that much. They said, oh, he's so... Walker was ugly. Elise was... They was all ugly when they came out. I mean, you can say what you want to, but they ugly. But no, they went through that, so... Be praying for them as they go through all that. You know, nowadays you can't have anybody there with you, so it's a little bit more stressful. We had Elise right as COVID was starting, so we were in that process of nobody could be there. You couldn't have any family members, and they're kind of still dealing with that, so it makes it a little more difficult, a little harder on you. So be praying for them as they go through the next few days trying to get out of the hospital, and pray that the baby will be okay and all that good stuff, and he'll quit being so ugly. He looks just like his daddy. He can't help it. I'm just playing with you. No, it's good to be back. I love preaching the Word of God. How many of you just like to hear good preaching? I don't do that, but I like to hear it when I do get to hear it. This morning I was sitting there and I was going through some quotes. I like quotes. Some people don't. I have a tendency to kind of like them myself. And I saw this one from a couple years ago and I thought it was really good. If when I get to heaven, the Lord shall say to me, I want you to preach for all eternity, I would reply, Lord, give me a Bible, that is all I need. Man, to have that kind of spirit. Charles Spurgeon said that. And to be able to sit there and say, just give me a Bible, God, just let me keep preaching it. Man, most of us are trying to get out of ministry. But people like that, them old school preachers, they were just wanting to preach it more and preach it more and preach it more. And that's kind of where I want to be. I just want to preach it more and preach it more and preach it more. Preach it louder. Preach it harder. Just preach it straight. I like preaching the Word of God. I like preaching salvation. I like to see people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I think that's why we need to do what we do. I think we need to be more about telling people about Jesus Christ. We need to tell them that they got something to look forward to. You see, if you die and you go to hell, you have nothing to look forward to. You just have something to look forward to as far as torment. Where the worm dieth not is what the Bible says. That's a bad place. Seems like a really bad place where you can't die, where you go through torment for the rest of your life, for all eternity, which you can't even comprehend, and you're never going to get out of the torment. As bad as it can be, you can't get out of it. That ought to just get all over you. That ought to just sit there and say, you know what? I've got to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I've got to share Jesus Christ with them. Why? Because they may not have very much chance left. Time is dwindling down. It's coming to an end. It's getting closer. And the thing about it is, on top of that, you have no idea what God has in store for somebody else. You could walk out of that door right there and never walk back through it again. It's truth. I could die on the way home today. It's just the reality of it. You have no idea what is going to happen in your future. You can try to put it all together. You can try to make it be what you want it to be, but God's in control. And if God says your time's up, guess what? Your time is up. It's over. And you don't get a do-over. You don't get a second chance. This ain't Call of Duty. Some of y'all are like, what? This ain't Call of Duty. This isn't a game. This isn't something that you lose and you go, well, I get a do-over now. I get an extra life. I get to go over here and I get to fix it. No, once it's over, it's over. God gets to make the rules. That's how they work. You get one life to live. And then you'll stand before God. Then you'll start your eternity. And you only got two choices. It's heaven or hell. It's two choices. It's heaven or hell. It's that simple. And you will choose. You say, well, I nobody would choose hell. Yes, they will choose because they'll reject Jesus Christ. That's how it works. You say, well, they never heard it. Oh, but they have. Oh, but they have. The Word of God is found in everything, folks. They've heard the Word of God. I don't want to stand before an almighty God one day. I don't know how you envision things being at the end of time. I don't know how you envision it when you stand before an almighty God and we're going through that judgment period of time and He's going through all these things. But I envision it kind of like this. We're all going to be in this big line, okay? We were talking about this at work the other day. We're all going to be in this big line and He's just going to be going one after the other. And I have a tendency to think that all the people that you are supposed to witness to will be in front of you. They'll be right there in front of you. So that when Jesus Christ and God looks at him and says, hey, depart from me into iniquity, I never knew you, you'll sit there and go, I could have told him. I believe there'll be more tears shed at that moment in time than ever, than any time before. And I just believe it'll be the most humbling experience that you'll ever go through. Is watching somebody go off into the lake of fire and know you could have done something about it. Knowing you could have told them. You could have shared Jesus Christ with them. You could have had that one more chance. That time that you stood at that gas pump and you were complaining that the prices were too high. To look around and say, hey, can I talk to somebody about Jesus Christ? That time at your work. When you decided, hey, my job was more important than the Word of God? Yeah, we're there, ain't we? I ain't going to talk about him at work because I might get fired. Go get another job. Y'all smart people. I'm sure you can go get you another one, kind of like what you do now. God might bless you. It's hard, though, ain't it? It's hard. But it's what you're supposed to do. I ain't got nothing to do with what I'm preaching this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to open with a word of prayer. Sometimes I'm getting like my dad. My preliminaries are about as long as my sermons are. I always told him, I don't know how he does that. And he's like, well, I got something to say. I said, well, now I'm getting to where I preach 30 minutes, 45 minutes. He's like, yeah, it just get worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I sure do love you. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, Lord, when I didn't deserve it. I thank you for allowing me to be able to preach the Word of God, Lord. I know that I am not the best speaker and I am not the best preacher by no means, Lord. But I know that you called me to do it, and I do it to the best of my abilities. I pray that you just put me aside for just a little while, Lord, and just let you be able to show yourself to these people. I just want to be the tool, Lord, that's used. I pray that you just help me to be able to give the gospel clearly this morning, Lord. And if somebody's not saved, Lord, they get saved before it's eternally too late, Lord. I think this time is dwindling down and this world is coming to an end, Lord. And I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. And if they do, Lord, I want to know that I gave it everything I had to try to give Jesus Christ to them. We'll give you all the honor and the praise for everything that will happen here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." We live in that day and age right now where things are just waxing worse and worse. I can only imagine that if Paul is writing these things and he's talking about all the things he's going through, how much worse it's gotten over time. How things have increased to the point you can look on your Facebook page and you can see the guy that don't want to be a guy that's still a guy that's competing against women. Yeah, that's weird. Why? Because that's where the world's going. That's where the world's going. They don't want to be anything like God. Now, they want to have a form of godliness. You know, religion is a big thing. Religion is a big thing nowadays. Everybody wants to be religious. I'm not big on religion. And you say, well, I don't really understand that. Well, see, religious people, they just act like they've got it. You know, they're the ones that show up to church in the suits and the ties and act like they're better than everybody else. They even know some scripture. They know how to tell the preacher. Didn't we? We had a good time this morning for all y'all weren't here. I understand, but you ought to come. You're missing out. We had a good time. We just talked. Yeah, you don't get to do that in Sunday morning service. It's a one-sided conversation in Sunday morning service. But you sit there and you got this whole list of things that Paul is saying here, and you realize that this world is coming to an end. It's dwindling down day by day by day. It's getting worse. And I have one question for you. We talked about your mama, Miss Christy, right? I'm trying to get the names right. What's your mama's name? Miss Judy. I like you already, Miss Judy. I didn't know what to say about that. I'm going to leave it alone, though. Miss Judy, she came and talked to me. She was talking about some songs she liked from Gold City and some songs she sang. And she said she liked Midnight Cry. I don't like that song. I'm just playing. It's a good song, but when you sing it 500,000 times, it just gets old. But it does have a good message to it. Jesus Christ is coming back. But the other one you mentioned was Are You Ready? Now that one gets me. Ooh, I like to hear Jay Parrott sing it. I ain't never really cared much to hear Thomas sing it, but I like to hear Jay Parrott sing it. For those of y'all don't know, Thomas is the new tenor singer. He don't do nearly as good a job. I can say that because I traveled with him. He's a good friend of mine. But they sing this song, Are You Ready? And I would sing it for you, but I can't do it justice. So I'm going to read it for you. But I know you can do a better job than I can, so I'm just going to read the lyrics. Doug Riley wrote this song. Doug Riley is Tim Riley's son. He passed away about 12 years ago now in a car accident. But he was a great songwriter. He was a drummer for Gold City for a lot of years. For those of you who don't... That. I like the drums. I like all that stuff. You know, it's good. If you do it the right way, it's good. It just keeps rhythm, folks. And some of y'all need rhythm. Are you ready? He wrote these lyrics down. Are you ready for the trumpet? Are you ready for the call? Soon the angels will assemble to usher in the Son of God. Will He come and find you faithful? Will He know your name at all? Every moment brings us closer. Are you ready? Now, are you ready? It could happen at any moment. And are you truly ready? I used to watch wrestling. I still do every once in a while. I know it's fake, okay? Now, I'm talking about like AEW, WWE, and all that good stuff. I know it's fake. It's all predetermined and all that good stuff. All right, I get it. So, men like they soap operas too. Leave me alone. I used to follow some of them. I used to watch the matches. And they had these factions that would come out, and they'd be like, are you ready? And they'd do all this kind of stuff. And then they'd have the good guys fight the bad guys, and the bad guys would win, and then the good guys would fight the bad guys, and the bad guys would lose. And it's just on and on and on and on. Storylines got to develop and develop and develop until they get to the big matches, okay? So I used to watch all that. I used to get intrigued by all that wrestling and watch them do all their different stunts and all these things like that. And I thought it was the coolest thing and go through all that process. And then I realize, you know, that it comes down to it where they're just going back and forth all the time. This ends. Those storylines just keep developing. They just keep going. They can just keep creating it. As long as it sells tickets, they're going to keep developing it. This storyline ends at some point in time. And it's when God chooses for the storyline to end. You see, it's been developing for years and years and years and years. And it's waxed worse and worse and worse for years and years and years. But at some point in time, the storyline ends and God comes back. Are you ready for that moment? Are you ready for when Jesus Christ says, hey, your time's done? Maybe you don't make it back through that door again. Are you going to be ready? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you ever had that moment where you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You believed in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It seems so simple because it is. I think people have gotten to this point in time in their life where they sit there and they because it's going to change who I am. It ought to change who you are. As the old preacher would say, I have more fun in my sleep as a Christian than a lost man does live walking around every day. It's true. I have peace. I have hope. I have something to look forward to. I have heaven, folks. And I don't even know what all that is. You say, well, I've read it all, but I ain't never seen it. I've never seen it. I know what it says. I know what they say it looks like. I understand what I can envision in my mind, but when I see it, whoo, it's going to be good. I sit there and think about all the things that we're going to get to imagine, all the streets of gold, something that we count so precious, something that's so important to us. If you have a gold watch or a gold ring, it's what you buy your wife, right? It's what you should buy your wife. Yes. Gold, diamonds, yeah, help you out here. You know, get off your pocketbook. You can't take it with you when you go anyways. It's brownie points. They like gold. It's a precious metal. It's something that people love. It's something that people think is such treasure, but yet you're going to walk on it like it's concrete. It's something that your feet are going to get dirty on and just walk on it. You're going to have gates of pearl. And we make gates out of metal. He's going to make them out of pearls. Gems, rubies. Man, can you just envision it? Can you see it? And then you're going to sit there and you're going to be able to walk by all these people that you've read in the Bible about. Wouldn't it be cool to talk to Paul? Timothy? Matthew? Noah? Just ask him about that flood that happened. How'd that all break down for you there, Noah? How hard was it to keep preaching when they said you were crazy? You know, when they said you're this crazy old man, how was it to just keep on going? But you know, all those things are good. But can you just imagine that you're walking through the streets of gold and you finally got to heaven and you just walk? I envision it because my uncle died not too long ago. And I can imagine Bobo walking through there. Mike Robinson walking through there the first time as the gates open and he steps in there and he goes, man, that's Paul. That's Silas. But then he gets this glimmer of light that he sees off in the distance. Running. Because he knows that's the one who paid the debt for him. It trumps all Paul. It trumps Moses. It trumps all of them. They become non-existent because God's there. The one he lived his life for. When you stand in that presence of God, you're going to be able to sit there and go, I see him in all of his glory. You think about Moses, he only saw the hind parts of him. Couldn't let him see it all. Paul was blinded on the Damascus Road by his glory. Why? Because he couldn't see it. He couldn't see God in all of his glory. But one day, you're going to get to see him in all of his glory. And you're going to be able to sit there and say, he's the one who died for me. And you're going to understand why he did it. You see, I don't even understand why he would die on the cross for my sorry soul. I didn't deserve it. I deserved hell. That's what I deserved. But he still died for me. He still shed his blood for me. Why? Because I was worth it. I was worth it. Kind of the way it is about preachers. You say, why are you so energetic about it? Why do you care about it so much? Because if one more soul walks down the aisle, it's worth every mile that I've ever traveled. It's worth every dime I've ever spent to get to a church just to see one more come down. I don't care if you pastor the biggest churches, the smallest churches, if you're just an evangelist. It doesn't matter to me what God ever makes out of that, as long as I get to see one more person come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's all that it matters. I want to know, are they ready? Are you ready? Are you truly ready? He's coming back. He's coming back. Time is getting so short. You've got to grasp this thing. You say, well, you're just crazy because you're a preacher. No, you ought to be just as crazy. You ought to sit there and get all excited about the one who died on the cross for your sins. If you can't get excited about your salvation, maybe you ought to check up and see whether you be in the faith anyway. Maybe you ought to sit there, maybe you're in such a bad place that you ought to come down to an altar this morning and say, you know what, I got to fix some things because I don't remember how excited I was about my salvation all these years ago. I reflect weekly about what Jesus Christ did for me. I should do it daily. I should do it daily. I should be able to sit there and go, you know what? What did you do for me today, God? What did you do for me today, God? You see, He just died on the cross for your sins, right? That's the way most of you look. Most of you look like it's not that big of a deal. But I'm here to tell you, times are waxing worse and worse. But it's temporary. I think about it until I just hit it. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 12, the Bible says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know, at one point in time in your life, you were an alien to God. You didn't even know. You were separated from Him. And you said, well, I went to church, and He knows my name. You see, that's where you get into things where you have to know what Bible doctrines are, and you have to know how to rightly divide the Word of truth, because here's the thing. Jesus Christ knows who you are because He came to this earth and He died for every single one of us. But the Bible also says that God's going to stand there and say, I never knew you, when He cast you in a lake of fire. So you may be known by Jesus, but you may not be known by God. Now, it's the same. They're the same, but they're so different. They're the same, but they're different. You see, there's something to that fact that He said, I never knew you. You didn't even hit His right. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you see Jesus, God sitting up there in heaven, and He's going, I can't see Him, I can't see Him. All He can see is the ones that Jesus Christ put His blood on. You see, when I accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior when I was 9 years old, all that blood just covered me. And God says, hey, I can see Him now. I can see Him now. And it's kind of funny because the devil brings up and he goes, hey, but He's done all this wrong stuff over here. He's been this bad of a person. And God says, all I see is the blood of Jesus Christ on Him. And He says, yeah, but He's been this kind of person and He's fallen back on you and He's not kept everything up like you wanted Him to. But all God says is, I just see my Son's blood on Him. All I can see is that red blood. And it washed me white as snow. It just cleared everything up. It fixed it all. All the sins that I committed, all the sins that I was going to commit, He just washed them all away. He said He cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again. Never to be brought up again. Why? Because it's just His blood. He shed it for you. He died on a cross for you. Why? So you could have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You could have eternal life. You say, I can't comprehend eternity. I understand I can't either. But boy, it's something I'd like to understand. And I'd whole lot rather understand it in heaven than hell. I think the noises that you're going to hear is going to be just awful. The screaming and the complaining. I think it's all going to be horrible, but I think what's going to be the most horrible thing, I don't know if that's how you say that. I'll talk to you about that later, Miss Christie. She just doesn't know it yet. I think what's going to be the worst thing is the total separation from God. You sit there and you talk about an atheist. An atheist gets in a car crash, is about to die, what's he going to say? Oh, God. Now, whether he means that one or he means something, but he's believing in something all of a sudden. He may not know what his God is, but he says, oh, God. Oh, no. It's fixing to get bad. You see, they even realize there's a God at some point in time. You were aliens. As you get over to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children." I got my mouth fixed, now my tongue don't work. "Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kingdom, in his kindness towards us through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It doesn't have anything to do with you. Jesus Christ gave you this hope. He gave you this comfort right here. He gave you this peace. Why? And it has nothing to do with you. It's all about what Jesus Christ did. It's all about the fact that he went to a cruel Roman cross and shed his blood for you and gave you a free gift of salvation. He said it's unto you, but it's only upon them that believe. What do you have to believe? You have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to 1 Corinthians 15. That's simple. All you have to do is realize that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on that cross, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. He took your sins upon him. Can you imagine Jesus Christ? He's hanging on that cross. He's shedding his blood for you. All the pain and all the agony that he's going through. Everything that's so bad. And they're taunting him, and they're mocking him. And they're just saying things to him. They're trying to give him vinegar to drink, and they're just trying to make him the most uncomfortable that he can be. And I know what they say, because it sounds good. "We killed him. I killed him. I was the reason. God died when God wanted to die." You see, Jesus Christ chose when he died. It didn't have a thing to do with you. If Jesus Christ wanted to still be hanging on that cross, he'd be hanging on that cross. He willingly laid down his life for you. It didn't have anything to do with you sticking a spear in his side. It was his choice. And he willingly laid down his life for you. And I can imagine him just hanging there, going through all the pain and all the suffering. And I can imagine him looking up saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I just came to this earth for my people. I want to set up my kingdom, God." Don't get it wrong now. Study to show thyself approved unto God. rightly dividing the word of truth. What did he come here for? He came for his people. He came to set up his kingdom. It was simple. That was the way it was supposed to work. And guess what? His people rejected him. And what did he do? He took a people that weren't a people and he turned them to jealousy. Oh, I'm glad he did. Proselyting to Judaism, keeping the law, was tough. Yeah, do you some study on that. That's tough to keep the law. But guess what? Jesus Christ said, you know what? I'll take a people that aren't a people. I'll die on the cross. I'll be the full atonement for your sins. And guess what? You can all just go to heaven that way. If you just believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can all get in. He willingly laid down his life for you. He gave his all for you. And I can imagine him sitting there saying those things. And I can imagine him sitting there going, hey, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? We talked about it last week. He was kind of in the same place David was. Where are you at, God? I'm just your son. What's the Bible talk about? He turned his back on his own son. Why? Because he couldn't look on that sin that he took. It's your sin. You didn't kill him, but it was your sin. He willingly laid down his life for your sin. He did it all for you. But yet you don't have the decency to go tell somebody else about it. You don't even have the decency to show up at church most of the time, right? Rather make a dollar. I get you got to work. I do too. But I've turned down overtime to go preach. But we got to have you here. No, you ain't got to have me here that bad. Political season will be all right. We'll just skip that one. We don't have to do one more banner. It's fine. The aluminum signs will be fine till Monday. Guess what? They're always fine. It always gets done. You ain't got to cut that one more yard. It'll be all right. I've been there. It rains all week. You don't know what you're going to do. Guess what? Be here. Then worry about that. I've gotten to the place where I sit there and I didn't know how I was going to do them. I had 70 yards at one time. And I'm sitting there going, I do this by myself. Killing me. And how am I going to catch up? And I remember getting out there and weed eating on Monday, trying to catch up and thinking, man, I'm going really fast. Sometimes I think God's just knocking the grass down for me anyway, just so I can go faster. You need to be in your place. Why? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. It's the least you could do. It's the least you could do is to just show up. It's the least you could do to just tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. The least you could do is just witness to one more person. The least you could do is study the Word of God. You could do a lot more, but you could just do a little bit more. If you do a little bit more, you'll do a whole lot more eventually. Are you ready? Are you truly ready? You sit there and you think about these verses in Romans. I was talking to a lady earlier this morning. We were talking about going through the Romans road and how she was using that as a witnessing tool. And I think about Romans 3 and verse 23. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've been right there. What does all mean? You can talk to me. All means all. That's simple, ain't it? That's easy. All means all. Nobody's exempt. We have all sinned and come short of the glory. We didn't fall short. I'm going to hit that. We came short. There's a difference. Study it. I'm going to jump off of it. Romans 6, 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. You deserved hell. That's the payment for the sin that you had, was hell. That was the only way to have atonement, was for somebody to go to hell. You see, you always have to pay somebody. If I just take a loan from somebody, I have to pay you back some way or another. Whether it be giving you back the money, or whether it be giving you work, or whether it be doing something else for you, but there's always a payment for it. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, I'll die on the cross for you. I'll take your sins. I know you can't do it on your own. So I'll take your sins. And I'll take them and I'll deposit them in hell for you. I'll take them and I'll deposit them in hell for you. Something that he created for the devil and his angels? Yeah. Something he never intended for you to have a part of? But I'll take it there for you. I'll take all your sins and I'll say, you know what? I'll deposit them. And then I'm going to sit here and say, hey, there's a free gift of salvation. And all you got to do is take it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to pray hard enough. There ain't nothing wrong with praying. You don't have to read enough Bible. All you have to do is just take it. It's right there. You say, but I've gone too far. No. You've never gone too far. You are never too broken to belong. You will never be too broken to belong. You say, well, you don't know me, and you don't know me either. I was saved as a 9-year-old boy. I get that might be young to some of y'all, but I've done a whole lot of bad in between all that. I'm not going to tell you about all of it, but I've done a lot of bad. Ain't none of your business what I've done. But Jesus Christ said, I'll take all those sins and I'll deposit them in hell for you. And I'm going to give you a free gift of salvation. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm going to put that back there if I ever get here. They give me one of them drop-down things, them screens, and they have it plastered right there on it. Y'all going to get so sick of hearing it that you can't think straight. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. We were sinners. We didn't deserve it. He still died for us. Romans 10 and verse 9. Romans 10 and verse 9. I know you've heard these scriptures all your life. You could probably quote most of them. Romans 10 and verse 9, the Bible says, I mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart. Out, be saved. No condition to that salvation. It's just period right there. Thou shalt be saved. If you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. There's coming a day when this thing is going to wrap up, folks. And are you ready? Are you ready for that call? It's coming. That call is getting closer. Sometimes I feel like I can just hear it just a little bit, like I can hear him tuning up. I can hear the band getting ready to go. Old Gabriel's getting ready to blow that trumpet. That's the only good part about Midnight Cry. That trumpet. He's getting ready to go. And are you ready for it? This morning, I want you to look within yourselves, okay? Don't worry about everybody else. Don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about the hyenas in the back. They're all right. The hyenas are just getting it right now. Don't worry about anything else. I want you to worry about yourself right now. Young, old, deacons, no deacons, committees. I don't care what you're on. I don't care how long you've been sitting in the pew. I don't care where you think. I want you to look within yourself right now, everybody, and sit there and go, hey, when's that moment that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? Because I know what you're saying. I know what you think. Well, it couldn't be me because I've been here. I've watched the missionaries' wives walk down the aisle. Brother R.E. Stokes is a missionary to juvenile detention centers at a Victory Baptist Church in Millbrook. He did that for years and years and years. Probably over 20-something years in ministry. His wife went with him everywhere he went. She would go into the women's prisons and preach to these girls and give salvation to them. And on a Wednesday night in a revival service, she walked down the aisle and said, "You know what? I knew what I was supposed to do, but I never had a heart knowledge of it." And she accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. So don't tell me it can't happen. So reflect within yourself and say, "Hey, was there ever a time that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord?" Because if you can't think of a time, then you're getting ready to spend your eternity in hell. You say, "That's mean to say that. That's scary. If I could scare you into heaven, I'd do it. I'd preach hell just as hot as I could get it." That's where you're getting ready to spend your eternity if you've never accepted it. I don't want to see that happen. I want to get our piano player to come forward. Play whatever you want to. Everybody stand to your feet. Bow your head, close your eyes. And if you need to talk to God, please do. Maybe you're not the witness. You've gotten away from the things that you know what Jesus Christ did for you. Maybe you've lost that joy and that peace that you've had. Maybe you ought to come down to this altar and just ask God to help you out a little bit. Change your life and change your view. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please, please, I beg you to come down to this altar. You can know that you're saved. If you're not comfortable with me, there's men in this church who love to take you and share Jesus Christ with you.
If she's never accepted Jesus Christ, she wants to.
Talk to you. See these verses. No, it's so simple. You know what Jesus Christ did for you on that cross? You know that He shed His blood for you. This is all you have to do is believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's such a simple gift of salvation. Jesus Christ came to that earth. He died on the cross for your sins. Do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior this morning? You don't have to say any fancy words. You just ask Jesus Christ in your own way. It comes from your heart, okay? This is your salvation. I want you to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. And then I'm going to pray for you when you get done, okay? You go ahead and pray out loud how you see fit.